politicians because they're conscientious, self-righteous people at school stand around and say more certain things than political dribbling. The football mobs riot, the pubs and clubs of hate, the workforce is going under unison. Much more could be accomplished, but fuck off lefty tricks and shove your banners for socialist equality where you shit. You are just the same scum as the rest of them and ain't worth a breath. Reading the way you talk and talk and protest, but nothing changes.
How you doing? It's Niall McGurk here from Dublin.
How you doing, mate? You all right?
Yeah, I'm doing good. And yourself?
Sorry. I started to pin down where I'm going to be at what time at the moment.
you're a busy man.
They say, do you know what? It's mainly trivia, to be honest with you, but it's just being where, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
How's things for you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Yeah, pretty good.
Good, yeah.
I just kind of wanted to try and start off and just kind of ask you about what you were like back in kind of 1980, 81, when conflict were just starting.
You
as a person, what were you doing? What were you up to?
Basically, where it all came from me was I just was realising very well that I didn't fit in at school at all, and was writing down, you know, crazy notes and stuff like that, and I kept a lot of those. Then when I kind of got out of school and started following bands and, you know, Primary of the Clash and then Crass, then kind of just decided to do my own thing and ended up using some of those notes and realising that people kind of agreed with some of it, which was, I felt very strange at the time, you know?
Yeah.
And most of the early days were spent, because I got to know the Clash well with people as well, so was, you know, following their tours about and, you know, then moving on to other things, really.
And how would you say that music entered your life? Like, how did you come across even the Clash?
Well, I first got given a copy of the Sex Pistols bootleg, which was called Spunk, which was never mind pilot.
I
was given that at school by an incredibly posh girl because, I don't know if you know, but in London back then, it was all the really posh people that was into punk. I don't know why, but they really were, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she gave me this copy of this record, and I'd never heard anything like it, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And what was your own background then? Like, you know, were you like working class area or was it?
I was brought up on a place called Cold Harbour Estate, which was a big kind of a big rough skinhead estate, really. A lot of bands came from out of there, like the Foreskins and stuff like that, but it was quite a notorious estate, and I was kind of the odd one out.
and then from the politics perspective, how did that enter your life?
Well, I think, first of all, like, I was obviously like anybody else. I think I got into the Pistols, went to see them twice, never saw any more than two numbers, because it was always, you know, chaos. And I think the politics really entered it when I started to listen to the Clash more, when we went to the early Rock Against Racism gigs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I think, that obviously, you know, in my eyes, Joe Strummer's lyrics opened up a lot of doors to me.
Sure,
you know, realised what a little bit more, but a bit more of a thinking man's band than the, you know, the Pistols were and stuff.
Yeah.
And I kind of got into that a lot, and, you know, into the whole belief of it all, you know, more than, you know, just being a punk rocker, which is what, you know, which I turned to from school because I had not fit in, I think, you know.
Yeah.
And then, as I say, from then on, obviously, I watched that deteriorating the way it did. Started to go and see Crass and that, and it was hard for me because obviously the two despised one another, and I knew them both really well.
Yeah, that's...
I'd say that Clash was the inspiration, and I thought, you know, Clash was what actually inspired me and led me in the right path, and I'd say that Crass inspired me to believe that I could do something myself.
Right. You know?
Thank you.
Very good.
And that's what I did, really.
And where, like, when did you come across Crass and how? Was it just because you were going to gigs and suddenly this band?
Yeah, well, a mate of mine said to come and see him. It was in some pub, and I'll be honest, when I first saw it, I thought, what the fucking hell was this?
Yeah.
And then I kind of got what was going on, but at first I thought, well, this is just rubbish, you know, total. Didn't like it at all. And then kind of got the idea behind what was going on, you know?
Yeah, yeah, brilliant.
Obviously then got to know them, and we used to follow them around with Stig out of Icons of Filth,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Ian from Southern Death Cult in them days, believe it or not.
Oh yeah, yeah, I know, yeah.
He used to be on the scene.
Yeah.
And then that kind of grew from there, and then this idea of doing Conflict came along, which was just... It was just going to be a passing thing, you know. We were just going to do it for a crack, really.
Yeah, yeah. And was it Crass that kind of made you think, oh yeah, I'm going to be in this band, or was that from going to see the Clash or the Two Pistols early gigs? Like, at what stage did you kind of go, oh, you know what, I'll stand up on stage and read these crazy notes out, or sing these crazy notes out?
Yeah, well, I see lots of bands, and I always thought, yeah, you know, I'd like to do something like that, but never actually believed that you could.
Yeah.
And I think when we just did the, you know, the really early gigs, we just thought, oh, you know, we was in local pubs and that. And then we did one support with Crass, but never took it that seriously.
Yeah.
You know, just took it as... And then we did the single on Crass, which Steve arranged for us. And then kind of it just went mental from there, which was really, really surprising. Like, obviously, it shifted a ridiculous amount. And then we found ourselves... in a weird position.
Yeah, sure, yeah. And what about the early gigs? What were they like? Was it just, like, mental or, you know, just...
The early gigs we'd done was more... Because they were in our local area, we were all quite rough, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
They were like... although we always had things to say, they were punk gigs for punk gigs' sake, you know, and lots of trouble and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
And then even when we went to do the first Crass gig... We had a huge skinhead following show up from London, which we didn't want, but it was just, oh, come and see our mate's band, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
kind
of got isolated a little bit like that, but then we kind of found our feet after a little while, you know, as doing it ourselves, because when he'd done, I think we supported Crass only once, I think it was.
Okay.
And then broke away and started doing our own gigs, and as I say, lucky enough, after that first single, apart from it all came too quickly, it all kind of fell into place.
Yeah, yeah.
Right place at right time, I suppose.
Very good, yeah. Like, I know from putting on gigs myself, like, we did stuff back in the 80s, and you'd go along, and, oh, it was just mental, because there'd be, you know, there was a phase that people would just go and kick toilet cisterns, you know, just to break toilets, and then
exactly.
There was another phase of fire extinguishers, and there was nearly on the edge of violence, but there was excitement.
It was going to be.
Yeah, yeah, but there was some sort of excitement there as well. Was it similar for yourselves?
Yeah, I mean, not at our own gigs, but at Crass gigs, really.
Okay.
I mean, there was a time when it was just one big battle with the right wing over here at Crass gigs. And we kind of adopted ourselves to look after them because they wouldn't as such, you know, being pacifist.
Yeah.
I think we made a pest of ourselves in the end, to be totally honest with you.
Yeah.
But no, that went on for about a good year of... And left-wing groups, to be honest, in the end. But mainly, you know, the right wing wanted to stop Crass playing anywhere, really. And due to the nature of the places they played in, no security, community halls and stuff like that, it was always a potential for danger, which I suppose is what kind of what punk's about in a way, because it can get too safe and too,
sure.
You know, to you know, some of the festivals now, they're not a threat at all, really.
Sure.
Secretary, Mr. Douglas Hurd, said anarchist groups had been in London stirring up trouble, and he warned that the police are ready to use CS gas and plastic bullets. He said, I will not shrink from such a decision. It was the worst rioting ever seen on mainland Britain.
All the police attempted to do was hold their ground. Organisation amongst the rioters was apparent, with crates of petrol bombs being moved up and some groups assigned to dig up paving slabs and other masonry for use as ammunition. The onslaught on the police lines were relentless and merciless. Small groups of police were hurt by pellets and a .38 bullet. The rioters forced the policemen to retreat.
But just to go back to kind of Killarney days, I don't know if you've any recollection or if you even knew that you were down to play in Dublin back in the early 80s.
The first I heard about that was from, is it Pete from Paranoid Visions the other day? We were swapping some emails and I saw something on a punk forum to say that about conflict not showing up, and he stuck up for us in something.
Yeah.
And I just thanked him and he said he was about this gig and I had no idea it even existed.
Yeah. My Bloody Valentine actually played it, you know. I think that was one of their first gigs because they were from Dublin. And that gig itself ended up in a big riot as well, you know. But
don't get me wrong, we did pull out of a lot of gigs, but a lot of gigs we got pulled out of was either to save the little venues we was playing in because we knew what was going to happen from the police, or that basically the promoters got hold of us at the last minute and said, look, we're getting so much police activity, we don't want to do it, you know.
Yeah.
But there were quite a lot that used to just jump on the bandwagon and put our name down and, you know what I mean? I don't know why, really. I suppose because it was selling.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they get people along, and then people turn up and go, "Oh, sorry, they couldn't make it, but come in anyway."
The thing is with us is, you know, if you do travel lots of distance that people do, then you know, people do get pissed off. I understand it totally.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm just going to ask you about like punk itself. Like, do you think it's a form of rebellion still, or is it just a rebellion that has been kind of commodified at this stage?
I mean, to be honest with you, the reason why I wanted to do it again was because I was getting really disappointed in what I was seeing, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I hadn't done it for a long time, and then we decided to do this, the Rebellion gig. which was last August, which is not my cup of tea at all, but I know we would always cause an impact there because we've only ever done it once before and it really ruffled a lot of feathers. Obviously, I don't know if you heard about this time, but this ruffled a lot more feathers
and
we're banned for life from it, but that's good. But what was pleasing for me is that a lot of the bands had complained to the organiser and said that our presence made them feel uncomfortable, and I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah, and why would
exactly
that be?
That's exactly what it's about, you know.
And why would they feel uncomfortable?
Because, well, I'll be honest, you never know what's going to happen with conflict. I don't like security entering the pit and pulling people by the ear, and I always do something about it, I always have. It's just the way I am.
Yeah.
They didn't like that. They seemed to think that, whether it was acceptable or not, that you shouldn't be challenged, and there were a few skirmishes with security with me and stuff like that.
I know. I was at the gig in Rebellion.
I mean, after that, it just basically got worse, to be honest with you. I mean, I had two black eyes and stuff like that, and I wasn't happy. It was over as far as I was concerned.
Yeah.
And then the next day, I said to Daz, I texted him and said, look, you know, I was meant to be meeting John Lydon now. I said, but look, if you want me to stay away, I will. And he said, no, there's no problem at all.
Yeah.
So I was in there for a couple of hours at lunchtime and then got escorted out by two police officers.
Oh, God.
I thought this is all getting a little bit weird now.
Do you still feel part of a punk movement, or did you ever feel part of a punk movement?
To be honest, I've always felt a little bit isolated, but wanted to be, if you know what I mean. I mean, got involved in other things, like one of my major things, obviously, was the Animal Liberation Front years ago. Got involved little bits with Class War and stuff like that, but mainly just on minor strikes and, you know, the poll tax and stuff like that, not as part of the organisation. As far as gigs goes, I've always seen gigs are gigs, no matter what they are, but I must admit, it was quite welcoming to see the way a lot of our gigs did show out, you know, with you know, mass police there and stuff like that. It obviously did something.
Yeah, sure, yeah, yeah.
Now, this time around, I really don't know, because I'm only really testing the ground to see what to do next, to be honest.
Right, yeah, yeah. And like, when you started, the authorities were in power, weren't they, back
That's right,
in 82,
yeah.
Or 82, was it?
81 was 81. When we've done our first thing,
and then that went on to kind of be whatever New Labour, and now it's back to the Tories via the coalition. Would you still feel, and I presume from the way from your lyrics and stuff, but do you feel that any faith can be put in a ballot box?
Not really, no. Yeah. I mean, to be honest with you, very little has changed here. It's just wrapped up differently.
Yeah.
You know, to be honest, there's been no. I mean, we've always had a lot of stick as well because we don't join like left wing groups and stuff like that. But
yeah.
I've always just seen it as one big bundle, to be honest.
Okay, yeah.
And watching the two sides fight, I just think they're it's kind of divide and rule in a funny type of way.
Yeah, yeah. And then even the conflict lyrics, very strong and hard hitting, and the sentiment, like, you know, from the gig last year, even in Rebellion, it's still as hard and angry. There doesn't seem to be any softening as the years go by.
No. Well, because of my personal injuries and operations as well, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to make sure that, one, it was still doable, and two, without losing what we've always, the way I've always done it, because I couldn't want to do it any other way, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. And you still feel you can anyway?
A Rebellion, I didn't think I could. I mean, by the end of that gig, we'd split up because, obviously, like, the band, are much more professional than me, and they're, good at musicians and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think where I'd felt so crap for so long, and then got on a stage that big again, and the adulation was just overpowered me a little bit.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It was just a little bit too much, and obviously, I spend more of the time chatting to the audience than actually doing the set with just the band on. And then obviously the two incidences and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I think everybody thought that. I mean, there was a lot of stuff on sites to say that, I was too old, couldn't play anymore and stuff like that. And even some of the band dad and said, look, can you do this after all the operations?
Right.
And I said, look, I can. Yeah, so we agreed to do two little gigs in England, prove that I could, really.
Yeah,
and we did those, and they've had some really good reviews.
They were Manchester and Bristol, was it?
Manchester and Bristol,
No,
now, don't get me wrong, even towards the end I was saying, of course I can, I wouldn't do it if I couldn't, but even after the Rebellion, I was doubting it myself a little bit.
Right.
Whether it was all too emotional now, and there was too much,
Well,
too much there.
I've spoken to some people who were at the Bristol gig, and they were in London this year as well. You played, wasn't it, in another winter of discontent? And like, they just been very good, positive.
That was much better. I mean, to be honest with you, Bristol and Manchester, I never go through the motions, but I made a deliberate point of not losing it too much, to deliver, all the lyrics and such and stuff like that. Whereas Winter of Discontent was kind of a cross between Blackpool and that, but that's just the way it is. I don't know, so I can't predict what's going to happen.
Yeah. Eltham Park Project, could you tell me a bit about that? Because I just looked on Facebook and you seem to be...
Yeah, well, what that is here, basically, a little while ago, I took over some disused buildings in the park, and first of all, just turned one into a little tea hut and then one into a community room. But what I do, a lot of people don't know, is that I do a lot of, charity work for local organisations, where we feed old people at Christmas, not with any help from, any funding or anything like that.
Yeah.
But what I decided to do was, because obviously, always talking about the bigger picture and world change, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Finally began to sink in that if I do a little bit in my own area, then perhaps people will think, you can just do that in your own area, rather than trying too big. So basically, it's a project where we raise funds. We've now bought a minibus where people use just to take families out and stuff like that. But we buy football goals that work with people that can't get funded, and they come and use it all free. It just helps people. As I say, we've got people around here, not so much this area, but just out of the area. We take food for them that comes from the money and stuff like that as well.
Yeah.
It's just kind of, just kind of setting up a little bit of independence,
But it's great, isn't it? It's great to kind of give that
grows,
to your local.
You'd be surprised how many people actually turn around and go, I can't believe you did this on your own. And it didn't cost money, it's just effort. Yeah.
Obvious question.
From control tower.
Presents when they had at least.
All right.
Through the streets.
Whatever, they don't stand a chance. Ignore it. Turn it off. Fucking let me last year. Let's see him try again. They can desecrate the cinematron.
Did you see our finest leader?
The rip and drag them in the media.
Would you see? Go and see.
Stuff don't know what's right and wrong. It's no excuse for what they've done. An excuse.
You want one? How bad is for a start? If you are too stupid to listen to common senses off, then expect time and time and time again. Our anger to resist. The anger you're well.
It's everyone's. I'm not a cherished power. You
insist. Hold on, you fucking anarchist scum. Be warned that 40 seconds of answer. Fight upon a movie. Zero tolerance. So unclear.
Let me get back and say that no opinion don't deserve.
You've got a point of fame. You're in the right path to ever learn.
There's not millions who won't be told. We will not abide conformities, but our refuse cannot be bold. And some by banks and governments to accept them for the blinding. As they destroy our planet, as some always remains we find. Those who care regardless, who don't hold their head but fight. Who don't accept, refuse, they have nothing left but fight. Standing firmly in the future with one foot inside the door. And this is ever simple, we won't take your shit no more.
Basically, they've been in the local park where I live for, I've seen them empty for 20-odd years and thought, what's happening with them? And I contacted the council and they said, no, we've got no plans to lease them. No, they're not on a lease list, that, they, and all the other. And I put a proposal forward to say, look, you know, we'll do them up, we'll create a business and we'll pay you a rent for them. And they went for it, which was good.
Brilliant, yeah. Like, that's the kind of stuff that people can get inspiration from, you know, and they see that you're doing that.
To be honest with you, that was something I knew I could achieve without the bigger picture as such.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you know, and just speaking to people, it's like when I did this, I was invited to do a talk for this Jimmy Mizzen kids thing that got, a bloke that got killed round here. I won't get invited back, but I was, they basically, you know, talk about, you know, world peace and stuff like that. And I was trying to speak to kids about, you know, where they're going wrong, like, and one of the things I come out with, I said, look, you know, what do you smash up phone boxes for and bus stop? You need those. You should do speed cameras. And then I got kicked off stage. But I was trying to get point to them, you know, think about what you need here, you know.
Yeah. Very
rather
good.
Rather than just channeling all this rubbish, you know, which is kind of where I'm coming from a little bit.
Yeah, that's great. That's great stuff. And how about the ALF stuff? Is that still important to your life? Or?
To be honest, that got really, really stamped, well, not stamped out, but had to be so much more careful from, you know, when the big arrests came and everybody started getting 18 years and stuff like that, because it just started getting really stupid. But yes, yeah, it is a big thing. Things still happen, not on the same scale as they did. But a lot of the time, you know, there's a group called the A-Team that are breaking up dogfighting gangs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's not so much the bigger section establishments now, because to be totally honest with you, they're untouchable.
Sure, yeah.
They've made it just absolutely untouchable because of the money, you know.
Yeah, but like it was amazing for even me, as, you know, I was born in 68, so I was like 15 back, you know, 16 back in the mid-80s, And you're reading about like vivisection or getting a single, like a conflict single or a crass or flux, and you're reading about, you know, what's happening to animals, and it can have a very strong influence and even kind of shape your life to a large extent.
Yeah, a lot of people have said that. I mean, to be honest with you, it's quite funny because they've got a screen at the Barham factory, and I'm just transferring some stuff from VHS to show people there as well, because I think, you know, it's easy for us to think, oh, we've said that, done that, but there's so many new people there now.
Yeah, for sure.
They haven't seen what goes on in there and stuff, you know.
Yeah, brilliant. That's great.
But we got a lot of, you know, again, that was one of the breaks from Crass, because obviously me being one of the first members of the ALF, they agreed with it, but they didn't like it because it was like an organisation, you know.
Yeah.
And obviously I felt so strongly about it because I knew what we was doing that.
Yeah.
that's the way I wanted to go, really.
Yeah. And do you still keep in touch with the people from Crass?
I haven't for a while. I mean, the last chat that I received was over an article in that book he did.
Oh, right.
Which is was very weird at the time, but seems to have all sorted itself out.
Good, yeah.
But no, I don't really, you know, to be totally honest with you, Steve was one of the only ones I really got on with Crass,
okay.
And I think some of the others just thought perhaps I was a little bit too, I don't know, brutal. And I mean, we rowed about things like when I put the sectionist addresses on things, they used to row with me about that and say that was wrong, but just my way of doing things.
Yeah, different styles, I suppose, you know.
Yeah. And it's like we had a row about the Orkney seal hunters, and they said, well, there's no other way to earn a living up there. And I said, well, fucking move. You know?
Yeah.
I suppose that was just me. I was always, you know, so fierce on that subject.
Yeah, sure. And the people you're playing with, were you friends with them? And they just kind of said, oh, come on, we'll do this, Colin, or how did
that... What, the group now, the lineup now?
The lineup now, and for you to actually want to come and play music again, or, like, sing the songs again.
Yeah, well, I think we was on the verge of, you know, I said I want to write this album, which is still, like, you know, three quarters done, and it was with the people, except one guitarist that I'm with now, and then halfway through that, I started to get the operations and stuff like that, and I thought, well, shall I just record this and stuff like that? So it kind of fell apart. Then I had a comeback gig planned, because I had the operations February 4 last, and then I had a comeback gig for the Hunsabs in London, which had to be cancelled,
right.
Because it just hadn't healed in time, basically. Yeah. And so I thought about it, and I thought, well, shall we, shan't we? And it had loads of... We just seemed to be getting a lot of people interested in conflict again, whereas before I thought, well, are we actually needed at all?
Right, yeah.
And obviously, I thought about it, and thought, well, we could do a silly little safe London gig, which we know is going to be all our own people.
Yeah.
Or shall we throw ourselves right in rebellion again, you know?
Right, okay. And what was, if you don't mind me asking, and feel free not to answer, but what was the health issue?
Oh, basically, I had my stomach lining split. And so right across the bottom, I had to have two hernias. So I had developed two hernias there.
Okay.
And so I had to have a gauze put in right across the bottom, just above my groin, by my stomach, which obviously is the area that you work from a lot.
Yeah.
But also, I've got, I don't know if you know, I've got a very severe neck problem as well.
Okay.
Basically, two of the bones in the neck have eroded, and it touches a nerve.
Okay. Ooh.
Which basically affects the left arm. It isn't doing that much to it, but it makes it tingle and stuff like that. But to have that operation, one, I have to go through the throat, which I'm never going to have.
Yeah.
And they put a little titanium plate in to keep it apart.
Okay.
But they say, like, after that, you're never the same again. So I'm not going to have it done, basically.
Okay. Oh.
But there was that. And obviously, to be honest with you, the more you do, the quicker it wears out.
Okay.
And the conflict set does wear it.
Fight!
I'd say so, yeah. And what, and what about the Dublin gig? What? How did that come about? Was it just Timo kind of...
Do you know what? That's been going on for a while, and we've had some bits and pieces backwards, and we always wanted to do more in Ireland, because we've only ever done the one, obviously.
Yeah.
And then there was talk of it, you know, and then we was going to go and do Belfast at the same time. But we thought, look, better just stay at one at the moment, because although we've done, you know, we've done Rebellion and done these two small ones, and the London one kind of was, you know, it's going to be safe for us in London anyway.
Yeah.
This would be the first big gig, really, since Rebellion, you know.
Okay.
So we didn't, well, I didn't want to take on. What I don't want to do is be in, because after both gigs at the moment, to be honest with you, I'm quite knackered to
a few days. Yeah, yeah.
So I didn't want to take on Belfast the next day, and they got, after 20 years, they got some, you know, wanked out shell. But
yeah.
No, and I didn't know this Timo, and he got in touch. He's been trying for a long, long time. And it was on, it was off, and then stuff like that. And it was just always one of those that if Rebellion worked, that I wanted to do, you know?
Right, yeah. Well, Timo's a good guy, so...
I like the look of the venue, and Spike had played there with Steve Ignorant.
Yeah, of course,
it was a good venue, because, you know, it's not a snobbery thing or anything like that, but I just think if it's the first time of going there, I want it to be as good as possible for people,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. And what about, I noticed some stalls at the gig. Were you involved in that, or was that Timo organised that?
Basically, at first they didn't like the idea of stalls, and I said, look, you know, it's what makes it an event.
Yeah.
You know, if people make it part of their thing, you know, that's what's always worked out. Our own London festivals is pulling in so many stalls and organisations.
Yeah.
And I think it helped a little bit. I thought the ticket price was expensive, but I'm told it's not. so I don't know anymore, you know what I mean? So I just contacted some people and said, look, do you want to do this? And they said, oh yeah, we didn't think we'd be able to. And it's kind of gone from there, and there's a few more joining now.
That's great. Because for me... Like, I think a lot of what's happening now with punk is that you just go along and be entertained.
Exactly.
And it's great to see that, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I think it works so well at Rebellion. Although, I mean, it was really weird. I could have had, say, 100 emails going, I've never been so disappointed in my life with a group. And then another 100 emails saying, that's the best thing I've ever seen.
Right, yeah.
You can never ever judge it,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, to me, I just, you know, didn't even know half of what happened till afterwards, but I don't think it could have been any other way, really, because I don't want to become a part of that, just, you know, I don't want to be part of all that, really, not in the entertainment, that's
well,
for sure.
Well, it certainly wasn't just another band playing, you know, a number of songs that people know and like, you know, like it's, there is a certain amount of, it's almost challenging people in a way.
And I think that's what worked great, that people are still talking about it afterwards. Yeah. I mean, I've not made it public because the Rebellion asked me not to make it public, but they said before this one that comes up, that, you know, if I want to, I will. And I think I will state my case of what I was angry with, you know what I mean, to be honest.
But
then you get, I don't know, once I heard that bands were uncomfortable and felt, you know, didn't feel great in our presence, that was brilliant. That was one of the best achievements ever, I think. It's never been about seeing any slippers, has it?
All right.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks a lot, Colin. See you next week.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
as our movement starts to crumble. The pressure we once held has just turned to a rumble. They've got us where they want us, and we all just accept that. Well, don't you think it's time we started to hit back? They are the enemy, they want a rubber around your neck. And if they don't go that far, then why the fuck is that? Forget a revolution, we might all reform. Out of all your promises of 1984, an impossible task, oh yes, it stands for us all. Well, maybe you'll believe us when your back's against them. Whoa!